Welcome to the Hour of Truth, everybody.
Good morning, everybody.
God bless y'all. Glad you're here.
Yes. Well, you know, one of the things, it turns out, you have to actually be watching the screen when the computer kicks on and says, here, you're starting. But because I was still looking at Scripture, it didn't work that way. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So.
Yeah, I have no experience in that area.
And don't feel left out.
No, I don't. I'm really.
All right, we're going to look at some Scripture today. I don't know exactly.
You talking about John 17? Where are you going?
We're kind of still batting this one around. I think we're going to go to... Phil wants to look at 1 John, so let's do that.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, well, I want to go where you want to go, Paulie. You wanted to...
Well, I'm like I said... I wanted to look at some of the stuff that we referenced but did not go to in the service, and there's only one I can remember, and it was one you referenced, but I happen to know where it is, and that's in First Peter 5, but I don't need to go first.
No, it doesn't matter to me. I'll follow along with whatever you want to do.
But you just said to it.
Well, I don't...
All I wanted to comment on was 1 Peter 5:7, and there's a lot of instruction here. Some in this passage that, if you look at 6, but hold yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. You know, you choose to not be esteemed highly of, first by yourself, and then everything else that you come across out there is something that the people are no better than you are.
Absolutely. And what the humbling does, though, in that, what he does then is you come to that place where you realize you don't have anything. So in that place where you realize you don't have anything, then you are able to receive that from God for the people.
Right.
And you realize that you're worse off than they are as a sinner. But still, you're able to receive that regardless because of Jesus Christ and what He's done and what He has given you. Be able to receive that to give to the people.
Yeah, and around. That's why the Apostle Paul said, Christ died to save sinners, of whom I am chief.
Right.
Because Paul was able, even as Paul the Apostle, to put himself as a man below the people. He actually considered himself to be a worse case.
Lower. Lower.
Absolutely.
And,
and it tells us in Scriptures to esteem others better than ourselves. And
to me, if you're in the right place, and, you know, humility... meekness is humility before God.
Amen. Yeah.
And the power of His word before man. You know, Moses was strong in delivering the word of the Lord, but he was humble before God. Take your shoes off the ground, you're on holy feet, holy ground. And, you're my slave. I own you. And that's exactly how he perceived himself. So he was meek. Now, at that point, anything that comes to you is of the Lord. It's grace and it's mercy and it's unmerited favor. And, you know, that's just speaking the word of the Lord. It exalts me. It makes me better than I am because He allows me to speak His word. You know, it is where the life and light and power and purpose, and it is the power of the gospel to pump life into a dead man. Absolutely. verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You know, this is not that mean old...
No, I ain't got with a lightning bolt.
Right. The old man in the sky who's just looking for an opportunity to smite men all over the earth. He cared for you enough to die for you. And he's sitting there saying, cast all your care upon him. Cares, worry, mental torment, fear, concerns, weakness, infirmity. You know, I bring nothing to this game. I bring nothing to this fight. I bring nothing to the gospel. But as Paul said, in his weakness, he has made me strong.
You know, and you know, another point I'm bringing on this too. Well, it's not our job to care for ourselves. You know, our job is to love God, love
one another. Yeah.
And that's it. You let God worry about taking care of you. You're His child. Don't worry about it. You put all that in Him, and you just concern yourself with what His business is. What does this scripture also say? It also lines up with Matthew 5 or 6 or 7, one of those. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these things shall be added unto you. And that's the things that you need, He's going to take care of. All you need to do is seek Him first.
Yeah.
His will. He will take care of you.
You know, there's times when that's the most freeing thing I've ever read. The trouble is, it's so easy for us to get distracted by a shiny thing and wanting to think the best of ourselves, decide that the shiny thing is something the Lord has for us. You know, when He's provided for Him, provided for His people, access to discernment and wisdom and the mind of Christ, when you're supposed to be able to determine for yourself when you're just seeing a distraction. And it shouldn't be easy to knock you off the seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Isn't that simple, easy? Until you get distracted. And it, you know, that kind of reminds me, that kind of kicks me back to 2 Timothy, where he's talking about endure hardness as a soldier again.
And not entangling yourself with the affairs of this life.
Right. You're being prepared as an army. And if you can't follow instructions, simple instructions, love God, love one another.
That's simple.
Right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and trust Him. His word is true. He's good. The testimony you would find from Abraham is, you know, when it came right down to it, and I was about to put the blade to Isaac, it was good. He provided a sacrifice.
Even then, he had a confidence in God that it was good, that if he did put that blade down in him, that it's coming back in Hebrews, he'd have to resurrect him from the dead, because that was his promise, and he believed God to that point.
Absolutely. Does any of this fit with your interest in 1 John?
Well, yeah. I mean, I really like this subject because
it's one,
and we've all been there. We've all been very distracted and been tormented and have been frustrated and have situations affect us and had the truth kick us down, and we turn and repent and the Lord takes those things off. But we've also had that also where none of those things mattered, because all that mattered was the Lord and what he would have you do, and you really just don't give a flying rip about anything else. And that's a sweet spot. And that's a spot we can stay in, that we're called to stay in. That's walking in the place of, in his spirit of love, power, and sound mind. And it's not that spirit of fear that we're hanging on. It's love, power, and sound mind. That's what he did.
Yeah. That kind of fear has torment. Fear.
Right.
So, I can't even quite misquote it.
That would be 1 John 4.
Yeah. Perfect love casts out fear. But fear has torment. But the fear of the Lord is clean, like God. Jesus said, I'll keep you in perfect peace as long as you stay the Lord. So, like you're saying, if you're walking as Christ walked, which is to always do the will of the Father, all the moment of your life, and your mind is stayed on it, although the things around you, he guarantees trouble. And the troubles will come, but even in the midst of it, you may be in during the hardest. You're enjoying the peace.
Which you have, man, I'm worried I thought, though.
How well does that work?
How well does what work?
If you keep you in perfect peace of mind and stayed upon.
Hey, Peter walked on the water too. You can do it. Can happen. You can know peace in the midst of.
Oh, I understand it worked with Peter. I was just asking how it worked with you.
Some days better than other days.
Yeah.
Hey, but it's like we were talking. Angie was over here. We were talking about how, your ongoing thing. God is good, and sell the house and things going on. Now, I'm not a man of perfect faith or anything, but God in His grace has met me at absolutely everything that's come up, and I'm really pleased. And I know that in the future I'll be able to look back at this time in my life and see He does come through.
So patience does work, experience, and experience work at hope.
Yeah, tribulation works patience. Patience, experience of hope, or shame. And that is what we're seeing.
Yeah.
Well, what you hit on too, there's a couple of things here. The fear of the Lord is beginning. The fear of the Lord is beginning. No.
Yeah.
You can fear this world and what it's going to do to you. Or you can fear God.
What he could do to you.
And what he could do. What does the scripture say?
Don't be afraid of those who kill the body.
Don't be afraid of those that can kill the body. I want to turn to it. I don't know where it's at. I do want to turn to it. Because that is the point that we find is the fear of the Lord. To love and good works. Because what it is, you fear God. You don't care about anything else that's going to happen. You fear God. And you want to do, and you fear, just like in Hebrews 11, you don't even want to seem to come short of the promise that He has for you. You don't even want to seem to come short. You don't even look like you're going to come short
because
of the promise that He has for you.
Amen.
You want to line up with His will and His way. And John is where I want
Matthew 10:28.
John is where I want to go to as far as to His way and His will, because this is a lot of times we can talk about this all day, but I really want to talk about the line of authority and the fellowship and the one mind that John talks about here a little bit. If you go any other way, you're kind of like speaking the word off. What passage is that, Paulie? I'm sorry.
Fear not them which kill the body, but are able to kill the soul. But are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell.
Yeah, and that's the point. So are you gonna take on the fear of this world or what other people think, or are you gonna fear God?
It's a choice you gotta make.
And it's a choice. It's a choice that you got to make. Are you going to fear God and do what He has you to do, regardless of how it seems across the board, or how you're perceived of, or how you're looked upon? I mean, look, Jesus went in and turned over the tables of the temple. Jesus confronted the Pharisees and their sin. I mean, these were not popular things. Remember that sermon? I mean, have you eaten of the unless you drink of my blood and eat of my flesh.
Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, God. You know what
nearly
I'm saying?
All, nearly everybody's left.
Everybody's complaining because they can't hear you. And you...
Let me take care of that.
Try it now.
And, help you,
I'm not any good at this.
I got a bar. You going into what? Soup?
Yeah.
Is that better?
That means more better?
Did everybody miss all that?
Oh, keep going.
How's that?
Okay. All right. Was I unplugged? So they're just catching me from your mic then, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I...
Is that better, Gail?
So... But, I mean, Jesus did some unpopular things. But he did it because he loved the people. He loved God and he loved the people and he preferred them over himself. By far. He walked that out perfectly. Are we going to do the same? You know, and then someone coming in with lining yourself up with God and what he has for you in his will is are you going to accept those things and are you going to walk in the same fellowship which the Lord has put in front of you?
But you know, if you don't. And Jesus said, come to me, you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. See, our ways are not his ways. Okay, thank you, Bob. Yeah, we had a mic unplugged. Our ways are not his ways. But to the extent we line up with his ways and choose to meditate on him and not be concerned about the things of this life, but actually do what he said, you are going to know his peace. And you are going to experience the trouble. I mean, all... The same Bible that promises peace promises tribulation.
Well, look here, and we've also been talking about, you know, we also have it in John, which we hit on a little bit this morning, but not that area where he goes, "They hated you. If they hated me, they're going to hate you."
Yeah,
if you're going to, the servant is not above the master. If you're going to walk as Jesus walked, which John commands us, which we don't do by our good works or by that we have anything to offer, no, by just belief in the gospel and obeying what he has for you, the world's not going to like you too much, except especially when you bring in the simplicity of the gospel. Now, where I was going to tie into John was the line of authority that he has.
Well, that's another unpopular concept. It's not even taught in the churches today.
Well, exactly. You know, we want to walk in that which God has. I partake of anointing. I don't have one specially created for me, for my little plan, that God has a special little plan for me, Philip. No. God has a plan. I want to partake of it. And he has given me people in front of me that I can partake of, I can listen to, I can receive of God's good gifts through his aligned authority that he has, or I can reject them. And this isn't taught in the church very much.
No.
At all. Because what's taught in the church is the feel-good stuff and that God has a special plan for you and it's all about you and you and you. And that's what goes out there a lot of times. No, it's about him. And bringing forth the gospel and the mercy that he had on us for the cross. So, and are we going to get on his plan and through the line of authority and apostles and prophets that he set down before us to get aligned with and a fellowship with them?
You have something? Okay.
Nothing well formed, but I was just thinking, I mean, you start out with the idea that you have to comply with his commands. That just flies in the face. I mean, this is the buckle of the Bible belt, man. Everybody around here walks down to the front of the church, prays one prayer, and then, you know, they're in like Flint. Then you can throw in a little Kenneth Copeland prosperity and make a buck on the way by. I mean, this is... And the idea that there are even apostles? Not taught. Not taught. The idea that your pastor could come to you and say, hey, you need to do this or not do that? Oh, man, that would just clear the pews in most places. In all honesty, it's not a lot of fun sitting here in the chair sometimes when it hits me. A big part of the reason why Lisa and I stay, even though sometimes things are across the grain, is because having left, we know what bad looks like.
And I think I've done that 70 times and my brothers yet forgave me. Not only that, my brothers in the Lord and my authorities in the Lord still prayed for me. That's the, That's the only reason why I'm
pray
here.
Pray for you, pray for us in the midst of those rebellious times.
Absolutely.
And that's a reflection of the grace of God. And part of what you see is, as you stay...
And that's a reflection of walking as Jesus walked. For them doing it.
And
not
that,
us.
That is them walking as Christ walked. I mean,
in intercessing.
You come to the end of the gospel.
Sorry.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's an intercessing for us on our behalf in the midst of just rebellious and absolutely not deserving.
And acting like ourselves. It's really fascinating to me reading the ends of the Gospels when Christ knew what was coming, absolutely. And he was so compassionate toward his disciples. I mean, Christ committed himself to no man because he knows what's in the heart of man. He comes to the end, he knows they're going to leave him alone. And Peter in particular, he said, no, Peter, you're going to deny me. And then when the lady's name Mary, the Mary showed up at the tomb, he brought Peter into it. He said, go tell my disciples and Peter. And he listed Peter's name. And then he told Peter, when you were young, you went where you wanted. When you're old, they're going to lead you where you don't want to go. And I mean, he assured Peter on the back end of his denial, not only that he was accepted, but that he would remain faithful through his life. I mean, that's like grace for grace, grace on top of grace.
Amen.
Where are you going to go to now?
I wanted to go, Paul, do you have any else where you want to go? I know you've been searching there.
Yeah, I am. I'm searching for what we just looked at in Matthew. Again, in Luke.
What, seek ye first the kingdom of God, or fearing God, not man?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want me to continue while you're looking for that? Continue on here? Okay. So, guys, right now I'm turning to the first epistle of John, chapter 1. And I'm going to start with verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. It's talking about Jesus there. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. He's saying us here.
The apostles.
The apostles. Okay, and where he says, for the life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal light which was with the Father, that eternal life was with the Father. And was manifest.
God, or was God.
Right. Which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. He's talking about the apostles. That eternal life was manifested unto them. Jesus chose those apostles to be with them, manifested God's love for them and their plan, his plan for the world, that all may have eternal life if they would receive. It's their choice. It's still a matter of free will here. But these are manifested to these apostles. Apostles being picked before the foundation of the world, of this world. They already made their choice in the first earth. And they understood the mysteries. And it was shown unto them, revealed unto them. And that's what they're declaring unto us if we will but receive it.
And why? Why did they not die and stay dead?
Who died?
Oh, because the God hadn't created death yet.
Same reason that Satan wasn't killed.
Right.
Because hadn't
same
been.
Same reason what?
Same reason Satan still survives is because God had not created death yet.
And then, but he did create, the plan happened. But you know, think of the righteousness of God and think of where he stands in this. I mean, Satan was the first one to commit sin, wanted to be like God. Now, think, God didn't create death. Why didn't he create death? Because he didn't think he needed to do that. It probably never entered into his mind. Well, I'm going to create life. I'm going to create life for people and provide for them, and I'm going to love them as my people.
When he got,
and then he would never think that they would turn back against him.
when he got reports of what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, "I never entered my mind it could happen like this."
Exactly. So, the reason why death wasn't created, because he didn't think he had to.
Which is kind of a neat thing, because then he goes, "Let's go tell Abraham that we're fixing to bring it down on his property here."
Yeah.
And you know, that's cool.
Yeah, and on that, it's a little digression. All right, so he went... Abraham lived in the vicinity of Sodom and Gomorrah in the plain of Zoar.
Yeah.
So God's fixing to wipe this thing out.
Yeah.
So he goes down to check it out and make good and sure, because he's just.
Yeah, this is merciful. Land I gave Abraham, too.
So he went to Abraham and said, "Look, I'm fixing to do this." And he did that because Abraham had rights to the land?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was his man over that land and over that area. And he's like, that's why, you know, he deferred. He didn't want to just, you know, come on to somebody's ground and do things to their property and the people on that property without talking to them first, telling them what was going on.
That's fascinating. I heard some radio preacher, a guy actually thinks overall he's pretty good, and he was talking about the theories of creation, and he listed this one and that one, and then he listed what we believe about the first earth, and said, out of any of them, we absolutely reject this. And I thought, well, that's about right. You take the one thing that's true and step on it as hard as you can. Mm-hmm. All right, cool, man. Thanks for...
go ahead.
So, but what else? So we're in three. I'm going to start back here in John. We're in three. It says that, and this is the apostles here, that was manifested unto them. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. We share these things for you, that you might have that same eternal life, that eternal life might be manifested unto you. That you also may have fellowship with us in the same spirit, that same anointing we partake of, that same eternal life we partake of, you may partake of it too.
And when you have fellowship with an apostle that carries one of the Lord's anointings, this is what you started out with earlier today, then the anointing flows from the Lord himself through the apostle down through that line, if you like, into us. So you don't carry an anointing. You're partaking of an anointing that's flowing through another man.
Absolutely. And truly, and this is what it goes, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. He's declaring, truly our fellowship is with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now remember what Jesus says unto him. No man can come to the Father but by me. You come try to go around any other way, you're a thief and a robber. And this is the same way that is that how Jesus was talking. This is the same way that we're going to have fellowship, because if their fellowship is with Jesus Christ and the Father, then our fellowship is going to line up with their fellowship with them, the apostles and the prophets and all the line down the authority.
If you look at that, that means that you need to very, very carefully choose where you keep fellowship, and you need to be very cautious about who you're listening to. Right, because if you're following somebody who's not under one of those anointings, where does that leave you?
Yeah.
You want to increase the odds that you're having fellowship with the Father. You need to be doing it through the apostles.
Oh, absolutely.
Those who have access to fellowship with the Father.
But you know what? At the same time, what you said, though, let's say you are have a fellowship outside of what you know of somebody that's not an apostle. Even just as just that in your fellowship, I mean, you have a choice. You can be part of that fellowship or you're not. You're going to be, or now, you can stand.
Just make sure I'm tracking you. When you're saying have fellowship, we have fellowship with believers of varying, I mean, in the workplace, whatever. But you're speaking about submitting under a church?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, the fellowship there is an agreement with. I mean, I looked up this word fellowship. That means an agreement with. I mean, look, are you going to agree with God or not?
Because
right, exactly. I mean, you have where he says, our fellowship is with Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. That means that He's declaring Him as apostle is absolutely in agreement with God the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And if you're not agreeing with that apostle that is in agreement with God the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ, then you're not agreeing with God.
Davey says, always compare what they say to the Word of God.
Right, yeah, and that's the other thing.
That's the measure.
Right, and that's the other thing I wanted to get to as well. I mean, just say you're in a congregation, and I just want to put this out here. I mean, if you're in a congregation, maybe there's some wrong doctrine. Look, you get right. You get what the right doctrine says. You know what I'm saying? And if not, you also...
When you say get right, and this is what David was saying, if you want to know what a right doctrine is, wherever it's coming from, it's going to line up with the written word.
Amen. Absolutely.
And you are obligated to read that word and know it well enough to know if somebody's trying to throw you up for a loop.
Right. You know, it's interesting that you said that. I remember Ricky. I was at Ricky's place for quite some time. A lot of people know. And one of the things that Ricky, I remember him telling me was, you know, how do they know that? Well, one, you got a couple of scriptures that tells you you will know them by your fruits. I mean, there's no fruit.
Evil tree corrupt.
Sure. Right. And then the other thing was, one of the things that was interesting, he says, you know how they know if something's counterfeit, like counterfeit checks, counterfeit money, counterfeits, is because they study what the real thing is. The real checks, the real money, the real everything, and then they study it, and they study it, and they study it, and they study it, and then when the counterfeit comes, they will know it.
Because it doesn't look right, feel right, something. Because they know what the real thing is.
Right. It comes out, it pops right out of them, they know it. I mean, that's the same thing what we need to do with the Word of God. You have, and it's not that you go around studying all the counterfeit stuff.
No,
you
don't.
Study the right thing, the truth.
And, you know, we were talking about if you're, the nature of the fellowship you're keeping, I mean, the church that you're committed to. And if you're committed to the level you should be committed, where you can come to me and tell me something I don't like, but I'm going to do it because I know that you're speaking in the Lord's stead, and you're committed financially and so forth, then you would probably be a little more interested in knowing that whoever you're listening to is hearing from the Lord. If you got a casual, like, church parking lot handshake and a smile of $20 every Sunday...
Let me just to kick this one in here, and, you know, don't lose your train of thought. But when you say, you know, truly our fellowship is with the Father, and you fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father. The apostle's job is, like you said, is the perfecting of the saints, right?
Right.
Edification of the body. Yeah. The job of perfecting saints. His job of moving them away from that casual relationship where it's like a second-hand relationship. It's like I'm attached to the faith that somebody else has, and delivering them to a first-hand experience in the line of authority with the Father, where it's personal, it's mine. I've taken possession of it. I own it.
Amen.
And I know it's real. I've seen the power of it. The second-hand relationship is not going to save you.
Amen.
Not going to do it.
And it says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. But that is the point of that. But what we have here, Paul, like you're saying, and like I was testifying today, is that...
You know what's real? Because you've studied the counter.
Right.
Yep.
What I was saying, like, for earlier, as far as lining yourself up, you're going to be in agreement with those apostles and prophets. I mean, just like when, you know, Rick suggests some things about my house. When I first got married, I didn't have a place. I didn't have, you know, I didn't know what I was going to say. I was looking for somewhere to rent. I was married. I had a child. I had one on the way. Didn't really know what to do. But what I did was I listened to those above me and obeyed, and the Lord showed up. Now, that testimonies was for me.
Yeah.
That was me getting closer to the Lord, building that relationship with Him, Him manifesting Himself unto me. As what you're saying, that first-hand faith.
Yeah. And that is tribulation working. Faith.
Well, you know, and it's repeated. Spend the time in fellowship with the apostles, and they keep hammering you with the truth. They keep hammering you with the truth. They keep hammering you with the truth till you get it.
Amen.
I mean, that's a patient, loving delivery of the mysteries of God and the manifold grace and mercy and blessings multiplied. Peace. It is when you know it for sure, it's yours. It isn't somebody else's and you believe what they say. It's yours and you believe Him.
Amen. Absolutely.
And then, you know, the Lord can really do some work.
It's like this. They have it, and they give it to you, that you can have it. And what I mean by that is, they keep giving you the truth, Paul. That truth is you're gonna choose to listen to the truth and agree with it, or are you not? When you choose, it's manifest to you personally. You personally have that relationship.
Right.
They love you enough to tell you the truth to make that choice, and then it's manifest to you, and then you have that relationship with Christ. It's God that gives the increase there.
Yeah.
Is that not what you're hitting on?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the Lord's faithful, because you may hear something and understand it's true, but believe it's true. But God, in His love for us, is faithful to bring us to situations where you'll find that faith with works is alive.
I remember when the word was being delivered to me, and I'm going, oh God, please, this can't be true.
Stop delivering this word.
I don't want to believe this. Because it was
across the grain.
Yeah. And you know what? You love me enough to, that which I didn't understand, I just had to hang out there and then keep going. I believed the man was giving me the word of the Lord. And, you know, when I finally got to the place where I could see what was going on, all that was true too. It was just, the Lord is gracious and merciful. I'm still here and able to tell you that just because it's not what you want to hear doesn't mean it isn't grace and mercy being extended to you.
Well, and it takes time.
Yeah.
Because you come in with whatever ideas you have or ideas you lack, this stuff starts fleshing out. And once you get that foundation built under you, then you can get hit with something different than you thought. Look at the other things that you know are true, and it'll line up.
That looks like you can have the mic again there.
Well, and these things, four, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. I mean, we kind of were hitting on that already.
Yeah, He wants your life to be good. He wants your life to be peace and joy, the things you can't have any other way. His intent is for your welfare, for your good.
You know, it's like, you know, I just remember, I mean, going over, getting the brand new trailer, and I knowing good and well, I didn't deserve anything. And I, what I did was out of just an enormous mistake. Enormous bad choice. And it was in a terrible situation. But God turned that around. And when I had my home and my family in there, it was just an humbling thing. And I knew I was partaking of the good grace of God and what He had. But I agreed with what they was suggested of me to do. That was the choice I had to make. You know, I know today, I guess we hit on that a little bit when Davey was talking about checking. That's how the Mormons got to where they were, because they weren't checking the word with what people were saying.
Yeah.
They weren't checking word with what people were saying. And that's where that counterfeit. You study the true thing. You study the true thing.
And then you'll know the counterfeit.
That's right.
And a lot of times the apostles are sent down to show you that you might be been had a lot of bad teachings, and He'll show you those bad teachings. And you have a choice. I know Brad's been through this. He probably should talk about it more than I do, but can, because you have more experience in a lot of bad teachings. And then somebody would come to you and tell you, hey, this is not the case. This is it. And then you would be like, well, no, I don't see that. And then it would be revealed to you by the Spirit and through the Word. They didn't try to take you, oh, just because of this. No, they took you to the Word.
That's right.
They took you to the Word, and they kept taking you to the Word.
And it takes a little time. And one thing I told Ricky is, I'm not going to tell you I believe or agree with something just to make you happy. I mean, I try to be honest about it, even though I'm sure that's a little unpleasant for the other guys to know.
Where are you heading now?
Well, there was one thing that that caught my attention in the midst of all that is I was reading in Timothy. I mean, if we go to Timothy, real quick, I was thinking about... do I need to stop?
No, you're fine. I'm sorry.
Okay. Was in Timothy...
You got where you were this morning?
Yeah, a little bit, because what we had... let's see here. Where was I at? Okay. It's in Timothy. Well, I read it this morning, but I didn't go. Yeah, no, actually in chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2.
Okay.
You know, when we were talking about the apostles and prophets and the perfecting of the saints there, Paul, one of the scriptures that comes to my mind in that is in Timothy chapter 2. And I guess I'll start with 24. It says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves."
That's an interesting phrase.
It is. Themselves. That's what stuck out of me as we were going through John a little bit. If God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. That is, the things that's keeping them back, what they're hanging on to, keeping that from receiving all the fullness of what God has for them.
And meekness, we're instructing them in a meekness toward God, not because we're so right or so good.
Yeah, I look at myself as the one that opposed myself, and I have somebody showing me where I'm opposing myself, keeping me from receiving all that God has for me through unbelief, through not agreeing with Him, through whatever thing I put before, or out and out rebellion, or whatever I put before the Lord.
I want what I want.
And then, you know, the apostles and the prophets lay that out before us through His Word. And, you know, that's what the apostles and the prophets are there, perfecting of the saints.
You know, something I noticed on the back end of that, if God peradventure will grant them repentance, is that right? I don't have my glasses on.
Yeah.
You know, and so we come to them in meekness toward God, knowing that it's nothing of ourselves, it's all of the Lord. We bring them the truth, which came to us through a line of authority. That's probably not direct revelation to us. And then, if God peradventure will grant them repentance. This whole thing is very, very much of God. And that gives me a sense of confidence and peace, knowing that when I go to bring these things to somebody, it really isn't me. I'm really just sowing seed.
Right, well, the simplicity of the gospel. I mean, look, you have right here, I mean, what is it, some of the things that oppose themselves, people oppose themselves? Oh, I tell you, the biggest thing of them, of it all, is what can I do to be saved?
Believe.
Work righteousness.
Yeah.
They're trying to work the righteousness off is one of the biggest things. I mean, peradventure will give them the repentance to acknowledge them the truth. Knowledge of the truth is, I have nothing to offer. I'm nothing without the Lord. I'm nothing. And I have nothing to offer except Jesus Christ and what He did and the sufficiency of His blood and His power and His resurrection. That's it. That's it. A lot of this time, it's a purging of actually coming to the place to receive the fullness of the gospel, because there's so many things that come before it, that we put before it, that we still hold up as high or low, or we're too darn ugly and stupid, or we got something to offer. Either or. Both. One in a spectrum.
1 Corinthians 13, Paul said, even if you went so far as to offer your body to be burned, if you have not love, you're still nothing. But having my body burned, that's about what I got left, you know. Nothing. You're right. And that is exactly what Robin was pinging on so much when she was down last week. You know, it's by grace through faith. His sacrifice, His grace. The faith is a gift. The working of the righteousness in you, that's very, very much of God. We come in humility and contrition and receive. That's about it. Kind of takes some weight off, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And what that does is that for that, when you casting all your care upon Him, it takes the weight off. Yes, it takes the weight off. You give it to Him.
And then He not only receives you, He'll keep working it in you. He'll keep forgiving you till 70 times 7. And He can take you across this finish line if you'll allow Him.
But it's really coming to that place. I mean, it's truly
not an easy place.
Coming to that place where you have nothing to offer to receive it. Are you really going to, those things that you hold high, you really going to throw those down and realize that you have nothing to offer? Or is you think you're so bad that or that you did so much wrong that God can't forgive you? I mean, it should, two ends of the spectrum. I mean, but it's really coming to that place. And what you have is, I think, over your time in life, He purges this stuff as it comes up. It's not like I'm there.
And I was thinking about that, and you and I have been kicking this around some. You're at work and you realize, wow, I'm called to serve my Lord as, I'm called to serve my boss as the Lord, and I've got tasks on my plate I can in no way complete, and I'm not well equipped for some of the things I'm going and having to commit the stuff to Him over and over. Steve talks about going up to court feeling like he's got no self-confidence at all and being willing to walk as a piece of the vine, you know. It's kind of a hurtful thing when it comes down, and you realize not only can I do nothing without Him, I can't do jack squat without Him. It's a healthy place, but it's not a comfortable place.
There you go.
Paul, you got something over there?
I hear the pages flipping.
Yeah.
Where are you going?
I was, what, are you done?
Yeah.
In 1 John?
Yep.
I mean, for now, I mean, it looks like you got something, so.
Man, there's a lot of stuff left in for John.
I mean, there is. I mean, I can keep going. I just,
yeah,
I seen you flipping through the pages. I didn't know if you wanted to go somewhere, but I was.
It is. Let's look at 2 Timothy a little bit, where I referenced endure hardness out of verse 3, chapter 2. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And similarly, that's a choice.
Yeah.
Somebody has chosen you to be their soldier, and then you have to choose to endure the hardness, both the hardness of the training and the regimen to become skilled at the masteries the next verse is talking about, as a soldier.
Right.
And to not be entangled You have to choose not to be distracted. You have to choose. Every time you see a distraction, and you need, like we were talking before, you have to sometimes you have to have somebody over you to show you the distractions that are coming upon you, and then after a while and you get experience seeing them, then you learn to see them for what they are and choose to ignore them. Don't get entangled with them. So you keep on course. Remember, this is God's walk. This Amen. Is God's plan.
Amen. Amen.
And we have the honor of being a partaker
of it.
Of the trip and all the good stuff on it. All the good stuff He wants to do. All the good stuff He wants to give other people. And, this is another passage. There's a whole bunch of good stuff in. But, sometimes I think we forget, and we think there's somebody going to make a choice for us, and that one day we're just going to wake, or one day we're going to wake up, and all our choices are going to be approved of.
That day never comes.
If the choices,
you got free will. That does not change.
That's a fairy tale, people.
Well,
you make the choices. The man does what he wants to do.
That's right.
And that choice, as a choice. That you choose to have that relationship with God every day.
Absolutely.
I mean, what you're telling us, apostles and prophets aren't there to make those choices for you.
No.
They're not there. They're to perfect you in the faith in Christ Jesus. That personal relationship that you have. But they are part of the army. And if you will but submit unto them, God will give the increase. I mean, it reminds me of Corinthians, where he goes, Apollos of water. I have planted Apollos of water, but who gives the increase? God gives the increase. It's a faith and a relationship with Him. That you may know Him.
Yeah.
And the power of His resurrection.
And Davey's got a note in the chat. You are going through hardness and must endure, which is to overcome by faith. The endurance is the overcoming by faith. Peter said, "Your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes." Don't be beloved. Be not. Darn, I can't quite misquote it. He said, "Don't be amazed at the fiery trial coming upon you. It's there for the perfection of your faith, and that's what's precious in the eyes of God."
Oh,
I hate the fiery trial part.
I think somebody has invoked 1 Peter 4 again on me, and I just.
Maybe you ought to just read it.
I don't want to go there.
But yeah, the fiery trial, and also
that's not. It is.
But that's what you said was. And also think of Hebrews with the chastening of the Lord.
Not pleasant.
Not pleasant at the time, but what it brings is that peaceable fruit of righteousness.
Afterward.
Which is peace with you and God. That's all that's going to matter. That's all that stands. And that peace comes by the gospel and what Jesus Christ did. That's that linkage. And then that's the
joy
linkage.
Unspeakable and full of glory. Where are you going, man? You had 1 Peter 4.
No, I'm not.
No, you're there.
Well, for the time has come. The judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous are scarcely saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? You need to learn how to make these choices. And then you need to choose. It's always helpful to choose because you want to do the right thing. You want to be obedient to the Lord. You want to be in His plan. You want to be on His path.
That's right.
And, you want to bring the gospel to people
that will receive it.
And bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What a... Davey had another note up in the chat. It says... To overcome by faith means keeping faith in Christ and His goodness. Which, man, if you listen to Paul Muller around here, you're going to hear it every Sunday, every Thursday. You know,
believe me, that's not my first. I'm not the one who coined that phrase. Ricky had us going that way before he left. And it just opened up to me the ways, the manifold ways of goodness that He's shown us. It's like the Lord opened it up to me, and it's all, you know, stuff that I used to feel neutral about. I don't feel neutral about it anymore. I understand the great goodness and mercy, tender loving kindness of the Lord. He's been good. He's not going to change. He's always been good.
Amen. Amen, brother.
And He gave us what we needed because we aren't. And Jesus fulfilled all of that in His person. And we're down to like maybe 45 seconds. So,
well, God bless everybody.
God
Thanks
bless.
For joining us on the show.
God bless everybody. Have a great week.